911 is a great service. You know, you can call up, press three numbers, the officers know where you are, and they send you help. And it's been an amazing thing, and it's saved lots of lives and helped people over the years. But the landscape has changed. We use communications devices differently now than we did just a few years ago. We're texting. We're using our phones to take pictures and send pictures. We're using it for video. And 911 is not set up to get any communications delivered that way. And so if you wanted to text to 911, you can't. If you want to send a photo or a video, you can't. And that has to change in order for us to maximize the benefits of communication services to save lives and help people.
So what is the plan then to change it? And that would be where the next generation 911 comes in?
Yeah, it's called Next Generation 911, and it means what it says. You know, it's the next generation of 911. That's not just a old-fashioned voice 911 service, but that embraces digital broadband communications technologies to help both ordinary citizens and the public safety officers who are running 911. We've got a long way to go from here to there. You know, every PSAP needs to be upgraded. What's a PSAP? PSAP is the basically the local center that handles 911 calls. Last week, we announced at the FCC a five-step action plan to get where we are to where we need to be. First step is standards, technical standards. We need to settle on the standards for digital communications for next-gen 911. Second, we need to make sure that there's adequate broadband infrastructure for our PSAPs, for our public safety officers, for these centers that are getting the 911 calls. We also need to make sure that there's adequate broadband infrastructure and access for people. Third, location accuracy. We need to solve the problem of making sure that next-gen 911 has accurate location information. It's a fundamental part of our 911 system that if you, you know, if you're at home and there's an emergency and you call 911, they know where you are and they can send someone right to you. It's a problem that a challenge that has to be overcome for next-gen 911. Two other parts of the puzzle. The fourth step involves funding. It will cost money to take 911 from where it is to where it should be. Now, what we're focusing on are identifying the most cost-effective ways to upgrade NG 911, having national standards as part of it. You know, if you have, let's see, there are, I think, 6,000 different PSAPs. If every local community has a different standard for how they want to build out their NG 911 system, the costs of that will be much more expensive than if there's one set of NG 911 equipment that can be bought across the country. There are other ideas on making sure that we develop efficient funding mechanisms for NG 911. And finally, we need to put in place a government framework to manage this, a governance framework involving the different players who are involved in 911, local, state and local 911 authorities, and the federal agencies that are involved as well.
We are talking with FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski about the next generation 911 system.
The 911 incident really accelerated the search for some kind of interoperable communications for emergency responders, but really the search goes back almost 25 years, the Operation SAFECOM effort, and I believe it's in the Commerce Department, has been going on for, it seems like, decades. And what you're proposing would accelerate all this. How will you get this over the line now when so many public officials have tried to do this for so many years?
Well, I think that the desire and demand to make this shift has increased very significantly in the last two or three years as people themselves switch to next generation technologies. So, you know, 3 years ago, if I said to my mom, hey, we're going to upgrade 911 so that you can text or send photos from your phone or videos from your phone, you know, she wouldn't have cared. But that's no longer true. You know, my mom is texting. She's sending and receiving pictures from her phone. She's engaging in these next-gen technologies. And my point is that that is a very real trend across the country. These communications techniques have gone from a relatively small percentage of the population doing them to almost everyone. Take text, for example. You know, 5 years ago, the average American was sending just 2 texts a day, and, you know, most people didn't send any. Now the average is 20. Teenagers send more than 100 a day. Or take this. A few years ago, less than 20% of people's mobile phones had cameras, less than 20%. Today it's 100%. So these things are changing, and I think the fact that people now really understand the relationship between communications technologies, their daily lives, understand the argument for next-gen 911, I think people are understand it better now and are already demanding it and will do so more and more.
I'm really interested in what you said about partnering with state and local municipalities and how that would work. How would you be able to initiate that partnership, and then who takes responsibility for what?
Well, that's exactly what these discussions, this process has to address. You know, the NHTSA over at DOT has been doing excellent work on this. A lot of state and local authorities have upped their level of engagement. Some of the groups representing 911 authorities like APCO and NEMA have identified this as a priority. What we want to do with the FCC is to be a spur to get this done, whether it's by convening people in the right way, whether it's by looking at some of our umbrella rules that apply here. We want to make sure that everyone with an interest at stake here is involved in a real process that's designed to put together a plan that can accelerate very significantly our path to NG911.